Hi, this is Ken Kennedy, and this is Kenzoid's Autonomous Zone, episode 184 for Thursday, August 24th, 2017, and day 24 of the Dog Days of Podcasting Challenge. And today I'm talking about a little goodie that showed up. Actually, I was a little bit worried about it, but I closed the deal on it earlier this month and hadn't heard anything about it. But then actually while we were sometime during Monday, when we were at the eclipse, I got a notification from UPS that it was showing up. And so I was super happy about it because I was wanting to have it for Dragon Con. So it was like a kind of a little goodie that I pulled a little bit of a wild hair, kind of like Michael Butler said with his reel. But I looked at this thing and thought about it and decided to pull the trigger on it earlier this month. I'll read a little bit. This is the way it happened is I follow Cory Doctorow on Flickr. Remember Flickr? I still have a Flickr account. I still put stuff on it. I'm terrible at remembering to. I used to be very vigilant on creating like public albums and stuff on Flickr. I'm terrible about it, but it is one of the photo backups that photo backups that I use. And but I still actually follow people on there. I have a few friends that I follow, and I follow Cory Doctorow because he puts a lot of pictures up and they're interesting. And he was at Black Hat earlier this month, and one of the pictures that he took was a picture of a board, like at it's kind of like a signage at one of the spots there in Black Hat, I would assume, like in the dealer's room or whatever, that was from one of his stories from last year, turned out. And I used to just, obsessively follow Boing Boing, and along with several other people that I know, just finally got to the point where there were either stories I didn't care about, or there were too many stories, or there were stories that I had already read on another blog or whatever. So I finally unsubscribed probably 2 or 3 years ago at this point, probably 2 years ago from the Boing Boing RSS feed. So, but that does mean that especially in particular, sometimes I'll miss his unless somebody else links to it. And that's a bummer because I like Cory Doctorow and I like some of the stuff that he does. I agree, like, he puts too many Disney things up. But I do like some of his stuff. And this one I completely missed. And if I hadn't missed it, I probably would have done it earlier. So I'm going to read just a couple of sentences from this story. So I saw this picture on his Flickr blog of this signage that had his story on it, right? So it's kind of meta. And it said, "I have found a secret tunnel that runs underneath the phone companies and emerges in paradise." He submitted it on October 5th, 2016. Oh, no, hold on. No, that was on there. He actually submitted to Boing Boing on September 22nd, 2016. The actual company that it references put it on their own blog in October. So it says, I'm not going to read too long, but I'm just going to read a little bit. Calyx is a, and I think it's Calyx or Calyx. I don't know, but I think I'm going to call it Calyx. Calyx is a famous heroic radical ISP that has been involved in groundbreaking litigation. They were the first company to ever get a secret Patriot Act warrant unsealed, fighting for 11 years to overturn the gag order. Calyx is structured as a 501c3 nonprofit, meaning that they can accept donations and provide receipts for them, tax receipts for them. Here's where things get interesting. In 2013, Sprint acquired a competitor called Clearwire, which actually Sprint had already partially owned, but whatever, in order to gain control of the company's wireless spectrum in order to launch Sprint's LTE 4G business. Now, that spectrum was originally allocated for educational purposes. Portions of Clearwire's, like WiMAX spectrum, this is Ken again, aside, portions of Clearwire's WiMAX spectrum, yes, were. So, NetSpectrum was originally allocated for educational purposes before being sublicensed sub-licensed to Clear, and it came with the requirement that nonprofits get unlimited access to that spectrum at very low prices. And remember, Calix is a nonprofit. Calix uses that wireless data service as a membership premium to help pay for their crypto and privacy-supporting activities, to pay for multiple gigabit connections, data center space, etc., to offer a whole array of security and privacy services to the public, including their Leap-based VPN, their encrypted instant messaging service, and their mini Tor exit nodes. The upshot, for $500, Calix will send you a little Wi-Fi hotspot with a Sprint SIM that comes with a year's worth of unlimited, anonymous, unshaped, unfiltered, unthrottled 4G LTE bandwidth on Sprint's network. Unlimited as in, I downloaded 60 gigabytes with mine and it didn't break a sweat. And it's a tax-deductible charitable donation. Subsequent years are $400 because you don't get another Wi-Fi gadget. You paid $100 for the gadget, the little Sprint RF580 or whatever it is, just the service. I've used mine in New York, Washington, D.C., New Orleans, Reno, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Kansas City, Boston, and Woods Hole, Massachusetts. I've had it for a couple months, and it lasts for 2 to 3 days on a single charge. I love being able to just open my laptop and go without having to log into a hotel or airport's Wi-Fi bullshit authentication screen. Blah, blah, blah. So I read this the other day, and I'm like, what the hell? And I start thinking about it. Well, I read it probably 3 weeks ago and started thinking about it. Like I said, it was around when Black Hat was going on. And I was like, that kind of sounds like a pretty good deal. And then I was like, well, I'm already paying for Wi-Fi, you know, for cellular service and everything. And I rolled it around in my head for a few weeks. And then I realized, okay, I got several things going on here. First of all, Calix is a very cool nonprofit that I would certainly be willing to support. And I already spend several hundred dollars a year on either like EFF or, you know, Hope, people that do guys from 2600 that do a deal up in New York every couple of years, which I really want to go to their conference, their convention someday. You know, obviously, ACLU, I give money to. So, the various, and I'm like, oh, well, you know, we can spread this money around a little bit. And the second of all, I'm like, okay, just think about when Charlotte and I go on a trip. If Charlotte's in the car, oftentimes, while we're in the car, she's, like, reading Facebook, you know, doing whatever. And a lot of times, that's where she'll get the data usage updates. I mean, this happens fairly frequently where she gets upset. She's like, oh my God, I just got a data usage thing of another, you know, gigabyte. It's not a huge amount of data. But we are not on unlimited plans. I tend to like services that are consumer friendly, no contract-y sort of stuff. And also I'm willing to pay for, you know, in those situations, I'm willing to pay for what I use because we don't use a huge amount of data. We're not, you know, we're not 16-year-olds watching YouTube all the time. I've been a Ting subscriber. And Ting is a, you know, you pay for what you use, minutes, texts, and data. You pay for what you use. Super great company. I really like Ting a lot. But when Project Fi from Google came out, we had phones that were compatible because we buy a lot of Nexus and Pixel type phones, and B, their data usage. Well, they had a $20 a month plan for unlimited minutes, and I'm willing to pay for what I use, but at the same time, if I can get unlimited for a really good deal, that's fine. They have their plan starts at $20 a month for unlimited minutes and unlimited texts. And then it's $10 a gigabyte for your data. And I think for Project Fi or for Ting, it's $11 a gig for data. So it was a little bit different. And then plus, you know, depending on how many minutes we were using, but we tend to both of us use our phones a reasonable amount. A lot of times we're calling each other. So it worked out that, and Project Fi gives you like a SIM that connects to two different, it's connected to Sprint or T-Mobile, whichever is the stronger signal in the area that you're in. And we were having some signal problems at home. So we tried it out. It worked pretty well. And we were saving a little bit of money over Ting. And trust me, with Ting, we were saving a ton of money over, I forget who. I think Charlotte was on T-Mobile before that. I don't remember who I was on. I honestly don't remember. And we were getting better service, so it was great. But the thing is, when you're using data, you're paying for data. So if you're at home and you're at Wi-Fi, if you're at, you know, a restaurant or whatever, you know, a place that has Wi-Fi, that's fine. But you're like when you're in the car driving, you know, if we're going on a trip, if we're going to Durham to watch a Duke game, or if we're going to Atlanta to do, you know, to a convention or to do something, we're on the road and we're, you know, and we're using data. And so I realized, A, Charlotte would be able to use that data, and she could probably save at least a gig a month, which is, you know, at least, you know. So we start to get to the point where we're saving some data, and then I realize, heck, the only reason I have SiriusXM in my car, but it's only, A, to have music that I like all the time without having to stuff my phone full of music, because I like streaming services for music, use them at home. I would use them in the car, and I occasionally do, but I'm wary. I mean, sound, you know, audio only is not a huge, you know, sucker of data, but it'll add up. But I'm like, so I could connect to that for that. So I could actually turn off Sirius. And the other thing I use Sirius for is during basketball season. I'm a big college basketball fan. I'm a Duke fan. So, I do want to listen to the Duke games, but there are apps on the phone that, again, I could use. So I could turn off Sirius, which is, you know, I basically paid for 1/3 of the cost of the Wi-Fi hotspot with that. I pay, you know, assuming it saves each of us, let's say, a gig and possibly more of data every month. Now I've pretty much paid for it. And then just the fact that it's cool. It's always with us. So it just shows, you know, so anyway, long story short, after a couple weeks of thinking about it, I pulled the trigger, and it showed up on Tuesday, right after we got home from the eclipse. And I've used it a couple times. I brought it with us. It's amazing. Cool, super cool little, you know, it's Wi-Fi hotspots nowadays. They're smaller than phones. Little thicker. It's a little thicker than a phone, but it's smaller than a phone. It's maybe 2/3 of the size of like a deck of cards. Fits in like any little pocket anywhere. But what it means is whenever we're in the car, you know, it's battery powered, wherever we're in the car, I just bring it with us, turn it on, and we've got, and this thing is literally, you know, unthrottled, unmetered, you know, we don't have to worry about it. We use 10, you know, if we use 10 gigabits or 10 gigabytes of data, you know, on Project 5, that'd be $100. And it just, it's about 35, you know, when you take out the $100 for buying the hotspot the first year, it's about 35 or 38, maybe if you round, do it exactly. It's about $38 a month, but it's paid for in advance, is done. I'm just going to carry it around with us everywhere. I already did it today. We were just out wandering about. And, you know, obviously if you go into certain places, you'll lose cellular service in general, but you would lose cellular service on your phone as well, you know, so. But as long as it can connect, it's pretty cool. And then double bonus, this little guy is pretty advanced at this point. So not only does it have the regular Wi-Fi connection, but it actually has the facility, if you connect up into it and tweak its settings, it can actually create a guest Wi-Fi SID, which you can either put a password in or not. So I'm taking it with us to Dragon Con. I mean, there'll be places at Dragon Con where, you know, if we're down inside deep inside the Hilton or deep inside the Marriott, we're not going to get anybody's cellular signals. I mean, that's, you know, so the phone's not going to connect and this little hotspot's not going to get. But there are plenty of places that will be, heck, in the room, if nothing else. Also, I'm not going to be paying for, you know, Wi-Fi in a hotel room anymore, because I've got this little guy that certainly, if you're up in the air in a hotel room, you're going to get great coverage. So we'll just use this little thing for connectivity in our hotel room. But while I'm wandering around Dragon Con, I'm going to turn on a guest Wi-Fi. It's going to say something to the, I'm going to name it, something to the, of like, ask Kenzoid for access, or ask Kenzoid, or probably ask Kenzoid for access. That's, and there are people, you know, obviously there are people on this, listening to this, you know, in the dog days that know me. Once we, you know, once we're together at Dragon Con, feel free, ask me where I'm going to set up access. I'm going to go to passwords. It's not going to be anything complicated. And then I also have other friends, you know, plenty of people, you know, kinzoid.com is my, you know, domain since, I don't know, I think I've had that since like 98. So there are plenty of people that know me as Kenzoid. So it'd be kind of fun. Or people that just look at my badge and see the Kenzoid handle on it. It'd be kind of funny if somebody's like, hey, are you Kenzoid? I would actually laugh out loud if that happened. If somebody was looking for internet access. I mean, there's like, you know, obviously there's a maximum. It's like 10 or I think there's 10 connections available on the guest network and 10 connections on the regular network. So it's not, you know, infinite. But at first I didn't even think there was going to be a guest network. And so I was going to actually change the name of the name and the password of the regular one and then have to reset it when I got home. But now I can just turn on this guest network, go to Dragon Con, give people access, and I don't have to worry about it. I mean, like I said, it's unmetered and unthrottled. You know, it'll just work. You know, I'll just wander around and have this little bubble of Wi-Fi connectivity with me wherever I go, and be able to like give it away. Woohoo! So I think that sort of thing will be really cool. So that's kind of an experiment that I'm looking forward to doing with it. So like I said, we took it out basically for the first. I had it out and activated it yesterday, but that was just a little short excursion to the gym. But today we were like driving around. We didn't go all the way into Charlotte or anything, but it's pretty cool to be able to not worry about the access and to have the ability to share it out with other people and stuff. So that's my new little cool project that I'll be bringing to Dragon Con. And so, like I said, don't hesitate to, if you're going to Dragon Con and we're hanging out, don't hesitate to ask. We'll hook you up and, we'll get the access going. So I think it'll be pretty cool. I'm looking forward to it. So this has been, Kenzoid's Autonomous Zone. You can reach me at kenzoid.com. My email address is kkennedy@kenzoid.com, and all my other, you know, Google+, Twitter, Facebook, GitHub, Instagram, you know, I keep trying to think of one of the older ones and always forget, but, I got Goodreads always popped up in my head, you know, all that stuff, all at kinzoid.com. So feel free to, leave a comment if you'd like to. And this podcast is Creative Commons License, Attribution, Share Alike, version 3.0 US. And we will talk to you again tomorrow. See you. Bye.